And so our scripture reading will be from Mark chapter 4, and we'll just read the parable that we're focusing on today. Mark chapter 4, verses 26 through 29. Mark chapter 4, verse 26 through 29. And he said, that is, Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and should sleep by night, and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow, and he himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." So today we're looking at a parable that's in a way a little less familiar than some of the other parables, but it's still an important one. When we think of this topic of planting and of growing seed, we probably immediately think of the parable of the sower that we looked at earlier in this chapter a few weeks back. And we saw that that parable of the sower, that it was a picture of what's happening right now in the church. And what happens also throughout the world as the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, as it is spread and that as it is received by different hearers. And the parable of the sower illustrates how some people hear about the Lord Jesus Christ in the Bible, and it's very superficial just for a moment. Some people hear and they seem to grow and they come to church for a time. And the parable of the sower, it gives us a helpful category for those people who seem to be Christians for a time and even seem to be blessed and to show some spiritual growth, but then whether by temptations relating to riches or whether by trials, they fall away. And so looking at that a few weeks ago, it may seem strange. Well, now what is this parable about? And why would we need to focus on it? Well, you can think of this parable in this way. It's almost like it's zooming in on the parable of the sower. And through a couple of the phrases that the Lord Jesus Christ especially uses here, the picture now of the sower sleeping by night and rising by day, there's a little addition, and the seed should sprout and grow, and he himself does not know how, for the earth yields crops by itself, that it's showing us some more details, and it's like a magnifying glass, or it's like zooming in on a certain part of the scene of the parable of the sower and giving us a little bit more detail of what real spiritual growth and harvest is like. And so we're now zooming in on, you know, that sometimes maybe it's in a textbook or maybe it's in an online graphic. Sometimes you will see an image and then they'll actually put a little magnifying glass over that picture. I just saw one this week. I noticed it was a map of the Suez Canal, and it was a map of the whole canal, and then they had a magnifying glass over of a satellite photo of where that ship is stuck sideways, and the impression was here they are zooming in on one event, one thing that's happening in one little part of the world, but they're blowing it up and showing how that event that's happening over there is affecting millions of people and billions of dollars, supposedly. Well, here we have a zooming in on one part, as it were, of the parable of the sower and on the farmer who's sowing this seed. And we're just going to work through this and look at these phases of planting and waiting and growing and then harvesting. And you notice, once again, here we come to a parable that's introduced, and often the Lord Jesus Christ does this. You can read it in the various Gospels. The kingdom of God is as if. And that word "as if," it actually relates to the word parable itself. This is why we call them parables. A parable is a comparison. A comparison, as if. The word parable, you remember maybe from your high school math class, the word parabola. A parabola that was an arc and the two sides are the same. And it's this idea of mirroring or of comparison. And so here we have yet another illustration of the kingdom of God and the work of the kingdom. And it shows us, now that this has been repeated, that especially the idea of seed and of growth is a very helpful illustration of what happens in the church of Jesus Christ. When we see the Lord Jesus Christ repeating something, that should cause us to take notice and to remember these images and these illustrations. And here you see another picture that the world, we looked at the light and the darkness and all these pictures, that in this spiritually dead world, this life enters in through the Word of God, and that there's spiritual life and renewal that comes from that, and that there ought to be responses. That's the focus in the parable of the sower, and that's the focus in this simple parable here. That when you hear the Word of God, something should happen. That may sound very, very simple, but it's important. Don't we all, from time to time, go through sort of spiritual doldrums? You know what the doldrums are? That's when the ships in the old days were out somewhere along the tropics in the middle of the ocean, and there would be no wind for days and days, and they sort of seem to run stuck and not even move. Well, here we have these parables of growth, and they show us how important it is that we need to have responses to God's Word, that there ought to be growth. And so here we have this picture. Once again, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. We have this farmer again, and notice again, he's scattering. Scattering. He's throwing the seed out, literally. The Lord Jesus has now repeated this. And that's a good corrective to the way some people in some Reformed churches think. They try to just give the seed, and it's a great mistake, only to people who are maybe are ready to receive it. That's wrong. No, again and again, both in the parables, but then later in the life of the church, you see the seed being scattered. Not just a particular little rose of garden. That's not the picture that the Lord Jesus gives, or a restricted spreading of the seed. We looked especially also in 21 and 22 on how the light is to be put on a lampstand, that the Word of God should be literally broadcasted. We use the word broadcasting for putting maybe sermons on the radio. I just had the meeting this past week, and I'm on a committee where we supervise and we oversee a radio ministry. And the idea with that is one day the hope is that the Word would be broadcasted by radio. That means it would go out as far and wide as we can, spread out throughout the ends of the earth, or at least Canada for now. And the picture is God pictures, or the Lord Jesus pictures, the church spreading the Word broadly. Think of the apostles. They didn't just go just to the Jews. Went to the Jews and the Gentiles. And when we think of ourselves, there's a place for this, that we broadcast the Word. The Lord Jesus also gives parables. You think of going to the highways and the byways, going to the obscure places, going to the little people. You find the Lord Jesus spreading the Word, if he has an opportunity, to the woman at the well in the Gospel of John. A Samaritan, a Gentile woman. He would often surprise the people. And we looked at that in the last chapters. Some of this broadcasting. He was bringing the Gospel to tax collectors, to Gentiles, all kinds of people from all kinds of places. And as a church, we need to keep a focus on this. And we need to remember that this is indeed important, that God's Word should be scattered. Why is it important? Well, it's important because it's risky, isn't it? It comes with challenges. It comes with challenges right now in our society. It could lead to persecution, could lead to challenges as far as resistance just from society, but it's good to scatter the Word, not just within the walls of whatever building we're renting or within a church, not just in big cities or small villages, not just in one type of place, but the Word is spread broadly. And there comes a cost with that. One of the costs is that some of the seed seems to be unused and spread in places where it doesn't grow and it doesn't bear fruit. And missionaries go to places sometimes for years where the seed just, they broadcast it and it seems like nothing happens. And yet we have to understand that that is God's plan. That seed is scattered and it's spread. Well, what is this seed? Once again, it's a good reminder. It's the simple message. And Mark has something of a thesis statement or a beginning to the gospel. The Lord Jesus, when he's preaching, his message of the word is summed up in chapter 1, verse 15. The Lord Jesus was preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." That's the basic message. You notice there, it's the gospel of the kingdom of God. Here we're looking at a parable, which is a parable of the kingdom of God. The basic message is repent and believe the gospel. The seed that goes out is turn around. You've been walking away from God. You've been going your own way. You've been living in sin. You need to come back and return and believe the good news. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of sinners. And so that's what the seed is, this message. Jesus Christ died on the cross. There's even actually interesting the picture of seed there. Later, the Apostle Paul writes about the seed going into the ground and being prepared for the resurrection. And so here we have this gospel message, and it's being scattered. But then in this parable, now comes the difference. Verse 27. Now this farmer, he should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. When it says he should sleep by night and rise by day, that's an expression. And it's an expression for not just one night of rest and one day. It's an expression for this farmer now. He's spread his seed, and now he goes through the cycle of normal life. You all know that when you plant a garden, it's not just the next day that you go out and you start to harvest. You don't see anything for some time. And sometimes if you have a cool spring, there's quite a few nights, isn't there? Quite a few nights where you go to bed and you wake in the morning and maybe the children go to check out in the garden and there's nothing, and there's nothing again. And so here this farmer is, he's going through this cycle of normal life. It's day in and it's day out. He's going through the routines, and the interesting thing is he's not really here seen as being out in that field. We don't take that too far. But we, because often a missionary, right, they go and they spread the gospel, or a pastor, and they come back next week. But the picture here certainly is that the seeds he plants don't grow immediately in this case. It's not overnight. Not only that, the picture is the seed should sprout and grow, and he doesn't know how. You know, you don't really make your garden grow, do you? You sow a bunch of seeds and you wait for them to grow. You don't get down on your hands and your knees in the garden with a pair of tweezers and try and pull at the little shoots that are coming out of a seed, do you? You can't do it. You can't help that along. You have to hope and pray and wait for the garden to grow. And there's this sense with the gospel and spreading of the gospel in this parable. It's actually very encouraging in a sense, because it teaches us that it's God in his sovereignty that gives spiritual growth. The Apostle Paul confessed this. He used actually the same picture. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6 and 7. I planted, so Paul's saying he planted. He went out as the missionary. Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. And so the picture here is that it's only God who gives the increase. We go, we plant the seed, and then we go through the routines of life, but we cannot and we should not expect to be able to make spiritual life happen. It's a mystery. To the ancients, it was even more of a mystery. We know a thing or two now about how cells duplicate and how cells multiply and how things grow. And we have some knowledge of that, but yet we can't actually make things grow. And why is this important? It's important because we ought not to try to make spiritual growth happen. That's an important distinction. We are called to use the means. We are called to spread the word. You are called as parents to spread the word to your children and to bring the gospel to them. But then, from this parable, we understand that it's often normal that it takes some time for those seeds to grow. And it's to be expected that we cannot make them grow. And you know how when children, they first see the shoots, if you grow in your windowsill a number of little plants and you've put them there, that there's a certain excitement and amazement, isn't there? Look, it's growing, and there's this little leaf poking out of the soil, and the kids are excited to see it, and science tries to explain it. Well, we have to understand that when it comes to spiritual things, there is a time to wait patiently. And we live in the time between the first coming of Christ and the second coming, where we scatter the seed, but we should be waiting patiently for its final growth and the final harvest. James 5, verse 7 and 8. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and the latter rain. You also be patient. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. When you are spreading the gospel, or even giving your children instructions, have you ever considered that God doesn't answer your prayers right away? And that there's a cycle and a time of life where he's teaching you to wait patiently, and that he's teaching you that you can't change your children's hearts, that you can't cause spiritual growth to happen in your spouse or a loved one, and that only he will receive the glory for that, and that it's even normal. That maybe when we bring a message, maybe we have to rebuke somebody or we have to speak to somebody, that it's even normative, we could call it. It's normal that it would take some time for that seed to grow, and that we ought to be patient, and that we need to be taught that it is the Lord who will give the increase, not we ourselves. I can think back on many times that we did the book tables at the fall fair or at the spring maple syrup festival here in Powassan, and we distributed many tracts and we talked to many people, and we hoped we would maybe see one or two people in church the next Lord's Day. And it never happened, did it? And then we get a little bit discouraged and we wonder, are we doing something wrong? Or maybe we invite a friend or a loved one to church and they don't come, and our words don't seem to have any effect. Well, if we look at this parable and we read from the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians and from the Apostle James in James 5, we have to understand that this is normal and it's natural. And those times of revival where you actually sometimes seem to change overnight, that's extraordinary. That's unusual times. We should expect and we should be hopeful that maybe those words we have spoken, that they might take root in your child or your loved one in 6 months or a year or 10 years, and that God may be using that time to teach you patience, but also to show that He will not share his glory with another, that he alone gives the increase. And so, remember, when you're spreading the gospel or bringing rebukes or calling people to repentance and faith, remember to be patient. When you're evangelizing, if you try to do something like the book table, or one day we have different programs where we go out and try to spread the word, we have to not expect instant results. We can pray for them and we can hope for quick results, but you know, there's even a sense of this, even in your own personal life, that maybe we think we lack in a certain area and we're trying, praying for growth. And we wonder, woe is me, and we worry and we fear that things aren't changing. Well, the answer is continue to use the means. Continue to go back to the Word of God. Don't give up on sowing the seed because you're going through a period of waiting. That's normal. It's to be expected. We need to use the means. You understand what I mean by the means? We simply go out and we spread the seed, and then we wait and we pray. You know, there's two dangers, two equal and opposite dangers that people fall into when it comes to this long period of waiting. Some people, they get fatalistic on the one hand, and they just give up. It's been so long, and the world's getting so dark, and nobody's listening to the gospel anymore, and so why don't we just hunker down, and maybe God will give better times when we can spread the gospel again, and now's not the time. And they get fatalistic, and they fail to use the means. They fail to spread the word anymore because it seems like a dry time. That's a danger that we ought not to fall into. But then there's an equal and an opposite danger. One side, fatalism, giving up. The opposite danger is trying to force growth, spiritual growth, trying to push it, in a sense. That perhaps out of love for someone, you try to do more than scatter the seed. You try to actually make the seed grow. And we simply cannot do that. We need to be planters and waterers, but those that prayerfully understand that it is the Lord who gives the increase. This parable really shows us something of the sovereignty of God. John 3 verse 8 says about the work of the Holy Spirit, "The wind blows where it wishes. You hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." That there's a mystery to how God turns people around through unusual circumstances. And often when we've been praying for somebody at the most unexpected times and by the strangest ways, they're awakened. And the Lord works, and we see that work in their lives, and then we rejoice over it, and we give glory to God that yes, He used us to plant some seeds. And yes, He used us to bring a word of reminder at some time. But in the end, He had the glory, and we can't make the wind blow. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. And so this truth, it doesn't make us fatalistic at all. No, it calls us to scatter the seed. But the emphasis here is He Himself doesn't know how the seed grows. And then the earth yields crops by itself, without the farmer's help. God gives the increase. But then we also see here that there's a process of growth. Verse 28, the earth yields the crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, and after that the full grain in the head. You know, you do not wake up one morning and look over a farmer's field and see 8 foot tall stalks of corn with full heads that you didn't see the day before. It's a process. The blade, first you see just that little tiny green bit poking out of the ground. And then the stalk. And then the head. And after that, the full grain in the head. What does that teach us? Well, it teaches us that not only is there a period of waiting often for spiritual growth, there's just plain a period of spiritual growth. That there are stages of spiritual life. That fruit is not immediate. That it takes some time. Christians are not often born again mature. There are some very unusual exceptions. Times when this process just seems to take a few days. That some shoot up and they begin to bear fruit. But a lot of times, spiritual life is a slow process. A lot of times, it doesn't go as fast as you hope in your own life, does it? And yet we should be praying for it. We should eagerly be seeking the best gifts. We should be using the means. But here you have this picture. A little more, and then fruit. This is especially important for parents. I've said this before, but you should expect small fruit from small people. You shouldn't expect giant fruit, or you shouldn't try to force it to happen in unhealthy ways. Be careful to be patient and to be prayerful and to understand that fruit takes time to grow. And that spiritual life takes time. And you know, we have to be careful that when somebody comes in to the church, we do not expect them to immediately grow and to be mature just in a few moments. The reality is, some of the words that we have spoken to others, some of the interactions we have had with others, you know, we may not see for some time anything. And then just small signs of growth, and then a little bigger, and then finally full grain in the head. But you understand that though there's a process of spiritual growth, it does lead to fruit. But when the grain ripens, there is a harvest. There is some fruit that grows. You know, there's no excuse in this parable not for using the means and not for praying for growth. We can't just say, well, I'm just a slow grower. No, actually, the next verse, verse 29, when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. That is ultimately a picture of God's judgment. It's a picture that the time of growth, the time for growing, and the time for sowing, eventually it comes to an end. And there's a moment where you ought to be and you need to be ready for the harvest that God chooses one day to gather in his people. In Revelation 14, there's a picture of harvest, one of the many pictures where it's a picture of judgment. An angel came out of the temple crying with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, "Thrust in your sickle and reap, for the time has come for you to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe." So he who sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. There is a sobering picture in the Word of God, even for God's people, that the Lord does expect a harvest. Now, the fruit, you understand, is not what saves us. And yet the fruit is evidence, and the spiritual growth, though it may be slow and not as fast as we hoped, and though at times we may have to have much patience, yet in the end there will be fruit. The picture of fruit, of course, is given as the fruit of the Spirit, especially in the Bible, love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and self-control, that as a Christian knows Jesus Christ and trusts in him, that their life and their heart begins to overflow with fruit. And to the Christian, there should be a looking forward even to the harvest and a desire that there would be growth. You know, the picture, the first great picture of harvest in the life of the church is actually the picture of the day of Pentecost. The feast of Pentecost in the Old Testament was the feast of the first fruits. And after the death and the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus Christ, you had the disciples go out, and there you have a very fast-forwarded picture of this. They're seeds, actually, that the Lord Jesus, though, had planted throughout Israel. They grow, and they begin to take root very quickly in that day, and many come, and they repent, and they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's this Pentecost, this day of the first fruits. And there's this growth you read about in Acts of the church, especially living in love for one another and caring for one another. And so if there is true growth, if there is a real root, though it may take time, in due time there will be fruit. So this parable teaches us that we need to be patient. J.C. Ryle says about this parable, We can't explain why the Word of God produces effects on one person in a congregation and not on another. We can't explain why in some cases, with every possible advantage and in spite of every reminder, some people reject the Word and they continue dead in trespasses and sins. We can't explain why in other cases, with every possible difficulty and little encouragement, some people are born again and become decided Christians. We can't define the manner in which the Spirit of God conveys life to a soul. And we can't define the exact process by which a believer receives a new nature. There's something about this parable that at the very focus of it is a mystery. He himself does not know how. We don't really know how that spiritual life happens, but we trust and we have great hope that the Lord uses the means and that he blesses and strengthens his church and that he gives spiritual life. And so may we be praying for the harvest and may we be patient, trusting that the Lord will work. Amen. Let us pray.